what's going on out there, y'all, and happy new year. And thanks so much for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale. And as always, in this new year, ringing it in is my brother, Kyle Filson.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, I'm here in Skeleton Studios, the first session of 2024. Ready to start a new year. I can't believe it. That we got here. I can't believe that we're still doing it. I am excited. I think there's going to be a lot in store for 2024.
I hope so.
I'm ready for 2023 to be gone. It was absolutely a rough year for me and my family.
Same.
And so I'm glad that it's over. I'd like to start a new chapter. I know it has nothing to do with it by starting over and it's a new, the new year. I know it has nothing to do with anything, but it just feels better, right? Like
it
feel like you can brush it off and let's move forward.
But you can make it through February. You can make it through anything.
I got some vacation coming up soon. I'm getting excited about that. I love going out of town. Deer season wasn't that great because of all the water.
And we got a little bit left here at the end to try to just, you know, go ahead and get the freezer full. But yeah. It was a lot of work, not a lot of payoff. But hey, look, that's part of it.
That's why it's called hunting, not killing.
That's right.
Yeah, it's been very green. We've gotten a lot of rain. My yard needs to be mowed. It looks like it's spring around here, and it's January.
So yeah, mine's gotten out of control.
It's insane. But I'll take it because it's been really nice weather lately. I mean, not too cold, just hoodie weather, and I really prefer that.
Same.
I know it'll be over 100 here in just a couple months.
So. Yeah, like in 3 weeks. It'll be something dumb.
So get up. So did you have a good Christmas, good New Year's?
Did you
party hard? For New Year's?
I kept the granddaughter. I think we were all in bed by like 9:30, 10 o'clock.
I was awake enough to bring in the new year, but we weren't doing anything. Everybody was in their own spot. I was watching a movie. I was watching some crazy documentary.
All I can think about is it'll be there when I wake up. And if I don't wake up, then I don't really care about New Year's.
I looked up and it was like 12:20. I was like, huh. New year. Luke, did you know it's a new year? Luke was like busy engrossed in some video game.
He had no idea.
Yeah, like now my kids are all in their own different locations, all with their PCs, and they're just gaming. They're big gamers. And Luke wants to be a guitar player now. He loves Metallica.
Oh, nice.
So he was like, man, do you think you could buy me a guitar? I want to learn how to play Fade to Black. And I was like, of course.
You're like, done.
Finally.
Done.
Somebody has the same sensibilities when it comes to music. My other kids, I don't have any idea what they're listening to.
Luke's got Slash's hair already.
He does.
He might as well start playing.
You know, he's we talked about it for years. He's just an old soul.
Yeah. Yeah,
he really is. He likes everything old fashioned, which I like. And he got a bunch of new Godzilla kaiju figures, and he was super pumped about those.
That is awesome
because of the new movie that came out and everything.
Very
cool. Well, what else have you been up to,
man? Not much. Just staying busy. Like I said, spending a lot of time with the granddaughter. That's been fun. Working around here at the house and helping the boy. Been with him most all the time.
Oh, doing electrical work?
Yep, just helping him out, keeping all that. They've got so much work and all that, and they've got guys spread out everywhere, so they rely on old dad. Now, old dad can't do a whole lot because, well, he's learning, but hey, look, still having a good time.
Yeah.
Keeps me out of trouble.
Exactly, that's what you need, right?
Right, that's exactly what I need. Keeps me completely out of trouble. Hey, look, enough of the chit-chat. Let's get down to some creepy stories to start off this new year.
Yeah, let's do it.
This one comes from rural Lincolnshire in the UK.
Okay.
All right. Now, this is a crawler humanoid. Now, this is rather unnerving. Our homie Lon is always hooking us up because he knows it creeps us out. This took place in 2015, y'all. It says, I was driving back from an ex-partner's house at about 11 p.m. in rural Lancashire in the north of England. It was late November from what I remember, so it was a clear night with a big bright moon and very cold out, for England at least. I'm going to stop right there because that line just, I was thinking of regulators when it kicked off. It was, you know, it was a clear dark night or whatever.
Yeah.
The whole line, that's what I started.
You're talking about like Warren G, right?
Warren G music started playing in my head. And that says, to get to my home, you have to cut off the motorway and take a slightly rural route up to a wooded road. It's not large or dense wood. You could probably walk from one end to the other in 15 or 20 minutes. So it's roughly a 5-minute drive through the trees. Now, as I was driving along, the road twisted and turned as it has hundreds of other times, and I was used to it. So I had to drive slowly, about 20 kilometers per hour, in case a car came around the bend too fast. There's always accidents there. And so I was raising and dipping my headlights at full beam, as you do. And as I turned a corner, about 30 foot in front of my car was a large, scrawny, gray figure. Now, at first, I thought it was a large branch that had fallen from the tree, so I crept towards it and put my full beams on. Now, when I got to within about 10 foot of it, the creature, or whatever it was, moved as though it was doing a press-up, pushing itself up with its arms, and my headlights caught its eyes, which glowed like a cat does when you shine a light at them. It says I stopped my car, half expecting it to just be a deer and run out of the way, but the creature didn't move. It stayed stationary, staring at me, giving me a good 10 to 15 seconds to look at it. It then slowly stood up on two legs, still looking at me in the car, and it was big. The top of my car probably only reached the lower ribcage region, so I'd estimate it was probably 9 to 10 feet tall. It was pale gray, hairless, and gaunt. I could see its ribcage and spine. It had long, bony arms, probably each about 4 feet long, and large claw-like hands. The closest comparative description that I could give is the gray, bony werewolf in the third Harry Potter movie. Now, once I had taken all this in and realized the situation, I began to panic, putting my car in reverse, but the creature then just turned and walked calmly and silently off into the woods next to the road. It didn't run. It didn't seem scared or intimidated. It almost seemed disinterested. I didn't hang about to investigate the area. I went straight home and locked the door. Now, I spoke to all my friends, and all but one of them thought I was joking. But she seemed to take it very, very seriously, having had a similar experience in a similar area just a few years before. She said it was a bad omen, and after doing some research, I can understand why. Now, as I said, I don't really believe in anything. I've never seen anything like this before, and I travel that road at least once or twice a week, and have never seen anything since. Does anyone have any idea what it could have been? We don't have large animals over here in the UK. The biggest we get in my area are badgers, and small and medium-sized deer, certainly not this size, and surely deer would startle in the headlights and run. Thanks.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't know what that could be. What could you mistaken that for? I will say this. Our good friend Nick Redfern recently left the great state of Texas and moved back to England. So we'll have a correspondent, if you will, over there.
That's right.
We can ring him up and see if he's seen any pale crawlers.
But it does.
England.
That is the perfect, you know, the description of course, a crawler.
Yeah.
What's wild is talking about it walking in disinterested. I think it's because it's full.
Yeah, maybe.
It had gotten all of the energy from the fear it drained out of you or whatever it could possibly be.
Man, those sightings are so strange, though, when it comes
because
to the
crawlers. Because nothing fits it.
Yeah, I know.
There is nothing that you could possibly misidentify in this world for a 9 to 10 foot tall, gaunt, pale crawler.
With claws and eye shine.
I mean,
because
yeah.
People don't have eye shine.
No. Well, I do.
Check this out. There was a hunter up in Washington
who
was elk hunting near Mount St. Helens when he had a strange encounter, and he believes that a Bigfoot was paralleling him. Now, we know the Mount St. Helens area is famous for their sightings of Sasquatch and Bigfoot, you know, even when the eruption happened. Remember all the people that said that they were burned up ones and things like that?
Some of my favorite stories are the Mount St. Helens stories.
So that area seems to be riddled with Bigfoot. Check this out. It says, this experience happened to me after I left the military. I was hunting near Mount St. Helens, Washington. This is my first trip back, and I wanted to get in some elk hunting. I was so excited to be back home and able to go hunting, which I love. My hunting partner was not able to go with me on this trip, so I was going to make a solo trip, which I've done many times before. I knew the area well and was prepared for what it would take for me to do this hunt. I always take at least 3 days worth of provisions when hunting and survival gear in the way of extra clothing, a poncho, matches, fire starter, and other essential items. Put them all in my backpack. I know that many do not take such precautions when hunting, but I always do, because once in a while hunting, I got turned around, or one time when I was hunting, I'm sorry, I got turned around so bad that I spent 3 days in the woods wishing I had something with me other than my gun and knife and what I was wearing on my back. Anyways, on this trip, I was going to hunt a power transmission line right away. I parked on the logging road and walked about a mile to where I would sit on top of a ridge where I would be able to watch both sides. It allowed me to be able to have a clear shot for over 400 yards in either direction. I'd taken several elk in the same location in various seasons over the years before entering the service. I walked in before light, and before the light reached the spot where I was intended to hunt, before the sun even came up. I was there all day, and I did not see a thing. This was highly unusual, as every other time I've chosen this location, I've always seen something. I was also this time I noticed it was a bit more quiet than I remember from previous seasons. I also had the feeling of being watched, but thought it was just my imagination. About an hour before dark, and close to when I should have been ready to leave, I started to hear movement to the right of me, just off in the woods. It was not the usual sound you hear from an animal, more like someone walking in the woods. I thought that maybe someone else was also hunting in this area. I took note to be careful and not shoot in that direction should an elk walk out. But I never saw anyone else. But I kept having that feeling I was being watched. It was just a feeling that I couldn't shake. When I got up to leave, I yelled over and said, "I'm coming out! For God's sakes, don't shoot!" I said this more as a joke. No one said anything, and there was no more movement from that direction. Once again, I yelled a little louder, "I'm coming up! Please don't shoot!" I started walking towards the dirt road and wandered back and forth between the transmission power lines. I thought it funny that whoever it was didn't call back to say that they had heard me. I got to the dirt road and started back to my car, thinking that whoever it was didn't want to make any noise to scare any animals, as it was not quite dark enough to stop hunting. But for me, I felt the urge to leave. As I moved down the road towards my car, the sound of walking in the woods started again, off to my right, just inside the tree line. I thought that maybe whoever it was had decided to walk out with me. Whoever it was did not come out of the woods, but just kept paralleling me. I stopped. They stopped. This is starting to begin to creep me out, so I asked them to come out where I could see them. There was no reply. In a louder voice, I said, "Enough's enough, man. No more games. Get your ass out here so I can see you." And again, there was no reply. I took my gun off my shoulder and locked around into the chamber, keeping the gun pointed in the direction of the area where I heard the walking. But I did keep my safety on. I continued to walk to my car. When I stopped, it stopped. I became worried that maybe this was not a human. I began to think that maybe, just maybe, it might be a Bigfoot. I was also aware that there may be another one on the left side of me. I started to freak out a bit and started to watch all around me. After all, I would rather be safe than sorry. I still had quite a way to go to get to my car, and I knew it would be dark by the time I got there. So I picked up the pace. I started to jog, so I could possibly get there before it was totally dark. The thing to my right started keeping pace with me. I could hear it breaking limbs and what sounded like small trees as it kept pace with me as I jogged. By this time, I knew it was not a human being, and I was almost sure that it had to be a Bigfoot. I made it to my car without ever seeing what it was, but I wasted no time in putting things away neatly. I simply threw my things in the car and got out of there as fast as I could without ever seeing it. I can tell you what it was not. It was not a bear. It was not a cougar. It was not a bobcat or anything else that I've experienced in the woods. I cannot say it was for sure a Bigfoot, but because of my experience and years of previous elk hunts, I'm more than positive that it was. Thanks for all you do. I hope you liked my story, Mark. Well, Mark,
yikes.
That's creepy. It's not the first time we've heard of Bigfoots, you know, shadowing people, following them. And if there was one on either side of you, that might have been bad. There might have been pack tactics. They might have been planning an ambush on you. I mean, you've heard these stories before.
Maybe they were just hoping that he would harvest something and then they could scare him away so they could take it.
Maybe so, right?
I mean, that would be, that's the easiest way. But, you know, it is one of those things. I'm surprised it doesn't happen more.
Well, you know, there may be people that are not aware of things.
Probably several that have had something that probably have had happen that they just don't want to talk about.
Yeah.
So how would do you, man, would you freak if you thought you heard something following you that whole time?
I think so. I have been hunting before where it sounded like that, like I thought something was trailing me.
Yeah, yeah.
And it turned out it was a cow. It had like followed me all the way to my tree stand because it thought I was going to feed it some range cubes or something. Yeah. But like I kept stopping and I was like, man, I can hear something following me.
Like you hear, like how many times in the, like before daylight, have you been sitting in the stand, like in a brush blind or a brush blind or a pop-up blind or something like that, and you start hearing that, that heavy breathing, and it's just an old heifer standing out there, right? Like you didn't even hear her walk up, and it's heavy breathing. You're like, what is that sound?
No, I've heard it. Like when it's dark out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like there's a monster out there. Look, I got to give you this one, Brett. This takes place in southern Ontario from a First Nations boy, right? It says, I live in southern Ontario, and I've had an encounter with a little person about 11 years ago. I grew up in a tiny town and about a 6-minute drive down the road. There's a conservation area that was closed down 20 years ago because they told us that it was turning into a swamp, which makes trees unstable. I personally believe, though, it's for other reasons. My father is part First Nations, and he's always in that conservation area studying the plants, like for medicine, medicinal plants, even up until this past summer. Now, he had told me when I was a little boy that there were things in that forest that people wouldn't understand, which, of course, I did believe him, but I was also skeptical because I didn't know what to think. So fast forward till I was a teenager. My father and I were in the forest, and he was off studying one of his plants that he felt a real connection to, and I wasn't really into that. I was more into looking for critters like snakes and frogs and, you know, all the others. And so I'm walking west down the trail that we had come in on, and I was a good distance from where my father was. Just walking along, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw something leaning against a tree. So I stopped and looked over, and to my astonishment, there was a 3 to 3.5 foot tall humanoid leaning on the tree with his arms crossed. Now, he looked male, and his arms were crossed, and he had his legs crossed as well, just staring at me. I stood there and got a really good look at this thing, and it looked like a goblin, but not scary, just different. Its features were more exaggerated and disproportionate to its size. It had a larger nose and large mouth with wrinkles on the forehead. Its eyes were quite large and brown in color, and the creature looked like it was gray, but I always thought it looked like it was covered its skin in a gray clay or mud to be more camouflaged. It looked like it's wearing buckskin. It was dressed very much like a native tribesman with a long buckskin jacket. There was also a tone of gray hair that was pulled back either in a ponytail or a braid. It was also covered in what looked like gray mud. I looked at this thing for, I'd say, 20 to 30 seconds as it leaned against this tree, grinning at me. Then as fast as the encounter happened, and this was the crazy part, the little man just faded away like a spirit, and in its place was a branch that was leaning against the tree. So I walked back to my father and told him what I'd seen. He told me about his experience with these beings, and that he'd seen quite a few of them in the time he had been coming to this conservation area. He said that they were connected to the plants and the ecosystem, and they will give you knowledge about the plant in return for pouches of homegrown natural tobacco. He said that they are peaceful and very scared of humans, as we are extremely destructive and evil. He said one individual told him that we're like an apple with a rotten core. So I'm coming forward with this at this time, and in my opinion, we're living in a very interesting time, and we all need to come together to bring this truth out. Thanks.
Interesting.
So seeing a little grinning man, but I love how they described it turned into a branch.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's always like, well, did you know how we always laugh? Those branches will play tricks on you.
Yeah.
Well, what if it's not really, but it is, right? Like it's a thing and then it's the branch.
Yeah. You don't know.
I don't know, but I love faith stories.
I love faith stories. And speaking of faith stories, let's take a break. And when we get back from the break, we're going to be talking more about encounters with the faith. Stick with us, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. And we're back with Expanded Perspectives. Yeah, man, I love the stories of the Fae, the Fae folk. We talk about it all the time. I've been interviewed by many shows, and they always ask me if you could have an experience, what would you like it to be? And I always say that I would like to have a Fae encounter. Yes. I think it would be neat to see a gnome or a sprite or duende, whatever they are, these machine elves. Why do they have – why do they look like they do? Why do they get the little clothing? Why do they have the little hats? What are they about? What are they? Like, are they – supernatural beings that are from another dimension and they're able to interact with us? Are they everywhere in the universe? And I just do not know. Are they, in fact, extraterrestrial? You know, no one really knows. But what I do know is their encounters of the Fae have been going on since the beginning of time from all over the world, right? It doesn't matter if you're in South America, North America, Asia, Africa, Australia, maybe Antarctica, I don't know, or right. Europe, but there are sightings everywhere. Now, when people think about Fae folk, they typically think of Ireland, Scotland, England, and I don't know why, but that's what they typically think about it.
I do. That's what I typically think.
But there are sightings everywhere.
Yes.
And what's wild is the sightings, no matter where they occur, the creatures themselves, the Fae, look the same. So they don't wear a different outfit if you see it in Mongolia mm-hmm. versus Chile, right? The beings themselves, they all look the same. So what is it? Check this one out. This one comes from Kent, England, and it says, myself and a friend were aged around 14 at the time of this encounter. We went for a walk one summer's day, as we often did. It was the summer holidays, so we had all the time in the world. We packed a drink, some sandwiches, and some water for my dog, Ralph, and we set off. We had no mobile phones back then. This was in the 90s. So we were always sure to be home before it got too dark. We walked and talked about everything and nothing, as teenagers generally do. The route we walked, we had trodden many times before without any issues, and we knew exactly where we were and where we were heading. Our path took us across these fields with horses, down narrow, hidden public paths lined with bushes alongside a small stream. It was quiet, and the birds were singing and the bugs were buzzing all about. All of a sudden, we realized that we were no longer on our path, and that we were in a place that we had never seen before. We could feel everything change, like almost the atmosphere itself had changed. An odd house stood to the left of us, but we were in the middle of an apple orchard. There were beehives dotted around the left-hand side of the house. A dirt path went between the trees to the right of the house, so we decided to follow that path. The place, man, it just had a strange feeling. Not scary, just out of place, perhaps old. It was silent, and it was also, in hindsight, seemed to be autumn there, but it was midsummer. We didn't realize this until afterwards. We carried onwards down the path through the orchard, and after a few moments of confusion as to where we were, we didn't see anyone. As we walked through the orchard, the path seemed to go on a long while until we suddenly appeared to step out into a shaded open woodland glade covered in bluebells. It was shaded, yet the sun shone through the trees. It was beautiful and peaceful. It really made us gasp, as it was so amazing. The air was warm and the scent of flowers was strong. There was a really tiny abandoned chapel building to our left, and just bluebells as far as we could see. We were captivated and decided to find a spot to sit so we could have a drink and eat our picnic. After maybe 10 or 15 minutes, we suddenly became aware of music playing somewhere in the distance. Far away, yet close at the same time. It was some kind of flute, almost like medieval minstrel-type music. At least that's what the closest thing I could come to describing it. We stopped talking, both looking across the glade in the direction it was coming from, and just watched and listened in silence. Even my dog Ralph was aware as he stared in the same direction, frozen to the spot. Suddenly, it seemed to get louder and closer as a great gust of wind blew right in our faces and all around us. The music seemed to be in the wind. It was an unnatural wind, It was a still, calm summer's day, but we felt almost surrounded as if being pushed. We both let out a scream, and Ralph, or the dog, began to bark. We were terrified, and we no longer felt welcome. We grabbed our belongings and ran as fast as we could, the wind and the strange music billowing after us still. We ran back through the orchard, past the house, and back onto the public footpath. My dog Ralph barked as we ran. Once we knew where we were and could stop to discuss our experience, we both thought we stepped into some other time or place, and we both said that we thought it was definitely fairies. A time slip, perhaps into their world, until the wind chased us away. We were happy, peaceful, and relaxed, even though it was strange. The wind and the music did scare us, though. But it was as if we had overstayed our welcome, or happened to be in a place we shouldn't have been, by chance. We tried multiple times to try and find the house and the orchard with the beehives and the woodland glade again, but no matter how hard we tried, we never could find it. No matter which end of the footpath we came from, we could never find it. Where had we been that day? Just didn't exist. Myself and my friend have never forgotten what happened that day. I can still remember each and every detail. Although we didn't see any physical beings, we just knew that it had to be Fae. Almost like we could see them and feel them, but with our inner eyes. My dog Ralph absolutely saw them too, as he reacted so strongly. It was an amazing experience that I shall treasure as long as I live. Even though it was a bit scary, they didn't hurt us. It was more of a right girls, you shouldn't be here type of feeling. Bells, flutes, drumming, a medieval type sound. I don't look back on it unfondly. In fact, I feel very lucky to have had this experience. Thanks for all you do, Meredith. Wow, see?
Wow.
We've talked about this before. There's some very cool time slip stories out there, whether on the internet or in the books or Reddit or wherever you're looking. But there are like a subcategory of time slips where it feels more like the Fae are involved, right? Like they talked about the music and the food and the drink of the Fae, like something's trying to lure them in. Was the music trying to lure them in or push them out? She says it felt like it was trying to push them out. But maybe they just, their sixth sense set off and they decided to run. But maybe it was trying to lure them in. I don't know. But the smells, the places they were at, they could never find them again. And they had the sense of Fae folk.
Yes.
And they're convinced of it. How many times have you heard of people being abducted by aliens? They don't actually even see them. They just feel the presence. Yep. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Is it one and the same? Were they abducted by aliens? Or was it Fae? Or was it something else?
I wonder sometimes, too, if it's accidental.
Very
right. Like, what if it's out of the Fae control sometimes and we just end up over there? Like, we just end up in their party. They're like, what? You got to get out of here, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you can't be here.
Very cool story.
It's very cool. I've got one that comes from Hampshire, England. Listen to this one. It says, when I was a boy at a boarding school, there was a school outing, but because I experienced motion sickness, I didn't have to participate. We used to build dens or camps, and I had visited the one our gang had made. While I was walking back through the trees, I noticed a small person in a blue jacket, reddish colored trousers, with a sword at its side, except this person was only about 3 inches tall. I recall seeing a hat and that this little thing was flying or hovering right beside a tree. We regarded each other, then it darted behind the tree. I followed, but it had disappeared. Now, I often visit this place to see if it would return, but to no avail. Now, I've told no one. Now, it bore no resemblance to the gangly fairies that you see in books and all those that I've read. No, this one seemed stocky and compact. Now, I've never forgotten this sighting. Wearing a blue jacket, reddish or dark-colored trousers, a hat, a sword in a scabbard on its right side, 3 inches tall. Now, it says, I may have been 12 years old at the time, but I knew exactly what I had seen, even down to the detail of the sword. Now, this little guy looked surprised to see me, as surprised as I was. He had wings, and I've never seen anything like this. Now, the being I saw did not conform, like I said, to normal fairy images you would see in books. It just stayed there with me. And for the last 50 years, it's all I think about when anyone brings up a story of the Fae.
Yeah.
A little 3-inch flying man with a sword.
Little sword, little jack, little blue jacket, yes. Red pantaloons, you know, cool looking hat. What? And again, another keystone part of the story is it seems surprised that he could see it.
That he even noticed
and it. And that's a common thread, right? They're like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Whatever cloaking or camouflage we're using, it's not working.
Along the lines of this, I remember reading a story not long ago about a woman. I think she said she was like 71 or 72, and it had just recently happened, like within the last year or so. She said she lives alone. She has a garden. Her garden is her favorite thing, right? Like This is what she does. And that one evening, like beautiful sunset, she noticed something that she thought was like either a hummingbird, you know, something flying into the garden. She goes, she gets a better look at it through the window, and it looks like a large praying mantis, but with double sets of wings, like two up top, two down low, like the four.
Yeah.
She goes outside and gets, you know, kind of like stealthily gets in there to try to see this thing moving around. She said what she saw was a 6-inch tall action figure looking man with dark skin and leather clothes flying around in her garden.
And he had the four wings.
And he had four wings. Yep, the two up top and the two, the fairy style. But she said it looked like an action figure, just real dark skinned, like almost like a brownie.
Right, or a sprite.
Yep.
Or like, you know, Tinkerbell type creature. Some of them are more gnome-like and some of them are more like
true fairy-like.
Yeah.
So Pixie, I guess you could say.
That's right. Yeah, that's exactly right.
But she was like, it looked like it was trying to see the sunset was what she kept, you know, kind of referring to, as it was such a peaceful time.
That's one thing, right, that's a common thread. I've actually, and you know who I'm talking about, we've met people, but this one person in particular, like they were out gardening or doing something in nature, and they said they saw the same thing, like a pixie thing, and they just felt love and warmth and happiness. Like it wasn't
Fear
or none creepiness. Of that. In fact, they enjoyed it so much that they long for the experience again.
Yes.
But yet they've never had it.
And I think that's another one of those things that you notice about some fae sightings is when people have that connection, when they know it's there, it's that is that longing for them to do it again.
Yeah.
And just like, I just want to be, because you don't know how to appreciate something that sprung on you and then vanishes within seconds. Right. And you're like, oh, I could do so. Well, just like one more chance.
Yeah. And some people have talked about they think it's a past loved one.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that they come back as a fairy or pixie. Other people just think it's just an angelic presence.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, but I like the stories. Check this one out. This one comes from Pennsylvania in the 1950s. It says, I was 7 years old. It was very early summer. The corn around here was probably 4 foot high. It was a bright and sunny day in the fields of rural Pennsylvania. My grandmother was visiting friends. They sent me outside to play. I walked along the railroad tracks adjacent to the house that we went through in a cornfield. As I walked, I saw up ahead a tiny whirlwind or dust devil, about 18 inches tall, by the side of the tracks. I was fascinated by this type of thing, and so I approached. As I got nearer, the whirlwind became a small person. I distinctly remember looking down deeply into his eyes. He was old looking, had wrinkled skin, and he wore a green jacket. I had no feelings of fear, just fascination and interest. The next thing I remember, I was walking on the tracks heading back towards the house. I heard my grandmother calling me. She said that I had been gone for over 2 hours. I never mentioned this to anyone except my husband many years later, but I think about the encounter often. I remember his eyes so clearly. I have great reticence to speak of this experience, and looking into it, I feel that it does not come from fearing the judgment of others. It's almost like a block has been put there to keep me from speaking about it. I guess after 66 years or so, the reticence block has faded, but I wonder if others have felt something similar. old and wrinkled, wearing a green jacket. Why do you think your experience was that of a fairy, people have asked, as opposed to a ghost or an alien or an angel? And I always tell them, I don't know. I just, somehow to me, it felt like a fairy experience. Given my age and the times and my Quaker upbringing, aliens, ghosts, or angels were never a possibility. They were fairies. Trust me, these were earthbound nature spirits. That's what I saw. Again, I'm really interested in others who have had a similar encounter. I hope you enjoyed my story, Ruth. Yeah, very cool, right? Yeah. We were just talking about that.
Yes.
How, like, she felt like it was an amazing experience and longed for, but yet the missing time aspect is in there. And she thinks that somehow they were trying to block her from telling the encounter, which kind of falls more into alien abduction, right? They block your memory.
They start
missing time.
Yeah. It's like we've discussed it with on Joshua Cutchin, when we talked with him about it, all seems to be almost Fey-esque across the board.
Yeah.
If you really look at a lot of the things, the way it dips into, you're going to like this. I love that story. And this ties into a lot of what you were just talking about. This comes from California. Terry writes this. It says, we were in the mountains for a long weekend at a cabin in the woods near water. Maybe a dozen of us had just graduated from high school, and it was within 3 hours of the San Francisco Bay Area. Now, I don't recall the exact location. We were swimming in a glacial lake, and upon arrival, everyone noticed a cave on a cliff, and that we all agreed we should go up there and explore it, if we could figure out just how to get up there and to the edge. Now, the cliff was granite or similar and flush with the water's edge at one end, where it rose up into the mountain slope and forest. And as we were swimming and discussing our plans to go explore, from the water, I saw a 3 to 4 foot tall, almost round, I would say, somebody move from perfect camouflage on the cliff wall right next to the cave opening, shimmy to the cave opening, and then cover the opening and disappear into it as rock, solid rock again, and the cave was no longer visible. There was no cave where a moment before we had all seen one. When we got out of the water, no one talked about the cave again, and we all left and went back to the cabin. Now, I chose not to bring it up while at the lake. Now, from the shore, the cave was still invisible. I could see where it should have been, and it was now a solid rock wall. Now, no one brought it up until we got all the way back to the cabin. And when someone said, hey, we all forgot to go to the cave, and I knew it was because we weren't welcome in it. This thing was stout and oblong looking, almost round in shape and very sturdy. Now, it says it looked just like the rock it inhabited, only visible in the body form for a moment. Now, you might call it a gnome or another tribe other than a fairy, but not alien or ghost. It was certainly corporeal. Fairies are spirits or beings that inhabit places or guardians or tender areas of vitality there. I felt surely that this fairy here was either warding us off due to its own ill temper to keep us from invading his space, or to protect us from the danger or peril involved in the ascent of the cliff. He did not want us there, and I'm certain he cast amnesia, Kyle, into the minds of my friends. Since 4 dudes on the trip had been planning on how to get to the cliff's cave as a mission, they were determined. It was exactly when I saw him appear and conceal the cave that, just like that, the subject changed, and no one in the group recalled the cave until we were too far to go back.
I wonder what level spell amnesia is.
I don't know.
Is it available to warlocks?
Mass bards? Suggestion. Right? Not like level 7. What is it like? So you got to be like a 16th level or 15th mass suggestion.
It's crazy, though. And here's what I'll say. How many times have you heard stories of fey folk in and around boulder fields or rocks, yeah, right? It's always rocks, boulder fields, and multiple people saw it. So it wasn't one person, right?
Just one person saw it. I thought they were all there, but they all had the idea, and then the idea got erased. Only the person that saw it kept the idea. Mm. Those that had it and didn't witness it, gone.
Yeah, see? It's a very...
They mess with your mind. They mess with... That just tells you right there that time's not real.
I'm just wondering. 100%.
Time's not really real. It's just going on. You just, that is such an odd sighting, because we've all seen the videos of like cave doors closing and rock walls and stuff. And they say, these are the giants. Yeah, and this, right. And that. That's what it made me think of.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. Check this one out. Yeah. This one comes from Texas.
Ooh.
It says, hello, gentlemen. I'm not saying that I saw the tooth fairy, but it was the very night that I lost my first tooth. I wrote a letter to the tooth fairy and I left it on my nightstand, and I had a glass of water by my bed. I was around 5 years old at the time. I woke up in the middle of the night because I heard the glass of water hit the floor. I opened my eyes and I saw a very small light moving slowly across the room, probably 5 feet up in the air. It was golden in color, but small. It just looked like a dot of light to me. But I also have terrible vision and didn't have my glasses on. As it neared the doorway to my room, a new doorway opened in the wall to the side of the door, right over the place where a picture of my great-grandmother's embroidering hung. It was like a black rectangle void, but it had red velvet curtains. The light moved slowly towards it, and that's when I noticed the shadows. Silhouettes of animals dancing all over my room. Following the light, in a line, there was a bear, a big cat of some kind, and I know that there were other shadows, but I can't remember which animals they were. I looked at my tooth, and it was still on my nightstand. But when I turned my head again, there was a shadow creeping at the end of my bed. It had fins, like a shark or a dolphin, and it had two of them. At this point, the light was almost through the doorway, and it seemed like the portal door was beginning to close. But the thing at the end of my bed was getting bigger in size. Being 5 years old, I did the reasonable thing and hid under the covers, where I eventually fell asleep. The next morning, there was money on the nightstand and a note from the tooth fairy, obviously in my mother's handwriting. But the water glass that had woken me up had rolled under my nightstand and was still on the floor. If it wasn't for the water glass on the floor, I would have thought the whole thing was a dream. The fairy didn't seem interested in me at all, only the shadow at the end of my bed, a small speck of golden light. Why do I think it was a fairy? Well, mainly because it happened on the night I lost my first tooth, but the fairy didn't take the tooth. I thought it was just playing with me, like having a fake visit. I felt calm when I looked at the light, but the shadows, well, those scared me. This experience left me obsessed with fairies throughout the rest of my childhood, but I never had an experience like that afterwards. I've read a lot of lore and mythology about the fae folk, and in my opinion, they are magical beings that can't be seen unless they want you to. The animal shadows I saw that night haunt my dreams to this day. I don't know if the shadows were fairies or just hanging with the little gold fairy, but I only got the sense that the one at the end of my bed was evil, not the bear or the big cat. I thought the bear was funny. He was walking on his hind legs and was waving his arms like he was dancing. The one at the end of my bed seemed cold and dark. I hope you like this story, Janelle. Thanks, Janelle.
Yikes.
Again, what was in her room? A portal opened and it went through, right? It reminds
me. Portal.
When I hear that, it reminds me of Cat's Eye, right? Remember how the little portal or a little door thing would open in the wall and it would go in?
Yes.
And then it would like seal up and you would never know it. The drywall looked totally fine. The paint looked totally fine.
Yeah, everything was. That's just it, though. It makes sense. It's like there's so many stories of these things being able to come and go, but not really truly affect the physical world around them.
Yeah, it's so
which
bizarre.
Makes me start tending towards Bigfoot being a fae.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Listen, this one comes from Colorado. This young lady writes that I'm German and I'm used to this fairy and fae things in my history. My girlfriend, she's Mexican-American, and she's not really much into the paranormal. Now, she works on a ranch here, and one day was headed back to her truck, and there's a ditch that's typically filled with water in the summer, but it's empty now. Now, there are a few nearby trees, and over there by those trees, she saw a 4 to 5 foot tall being just sitting there under them. This thing seemed to be watching the sunset. So again, Now we got some sunset stuff again. So my girlfriend got in the truck and decided to drive over. She said on her drive over, this being saw her, got up and ran into the irrigation ditch. So she got out. She walks over to the ditch. There's nothing. Gone. It just dipped in there again like a portal. Gone. She describes it as 4 to 5 feet tall, blonde hair, kind of long, down to its ears. She said the ears were slightly pointed, not like an elf, like you would think of, you know, as written down, but slightly pointed. She did say it was wearing a green shirt and brown pants, and she couldn't remember exactly what it looked like, but that it was normal proportions, if not a little lanky, but only 5 foot, if that tall. So, almost like a brownie, the way it sounds again, but like a 3 to 4 to 5 foot tall brownie. Running around out there.
Yeah, the Dwendy. The Dwendy.
Now listen to this. And this is the one that I had to grab again from Colorado. You're going to like this one. It says some friends were celebrating their engagement at a DIY castle that was made years ago by this guy. And it was impressive and it's weird. And I really enjoy it there. So I was camping behind the castle along with all the other guests. My boyfriend and I were walking along the path from the castle to the campground slowly and leisurely. And the path bordered a wooded area, so it was also very pretty. And with the pine forest and the blue sky, I said aloud, if fairies exist, this is where they'd live. And my boyfriend agreed. Suddenly, we saw movement rushing towards us. It seemed to be obscured by a kind of invisibility shield, sort of like in the movie The Predator, in which the alien has a cloaking device that makes it invisible, but it's still a little blurry, so you can detect the being once it moves. So we saw this kind of effect over a small creature, maybe only about 2 feet tall. We couldn't make out any features other than the general shape and height. It was rushing at us very fast from about 30 foot inside the wooded area. My boyfriend and I both yelled and screamed because we were startled, and as soon as we did, the movement stopped. Now, we no longer saw the predator effect. We stayed there for a while, but we couldn't see anything after that. A blurry invisibility cloaking device over a 2 foot tall creature. It's often described there as a magical place. Now, I haven't heard any specific fairy lore or fairies, it says, that could be ultra terrestrial. Now, my boyfriend and I often talk about this kind of cloaking effect and how handy it would be in the woods now. So it makes sense. So it says, I haven't seen any of this stuff again, but I used to see small rodents out there in these woods running around all the time.
Yeah.
So is it a fae? Could the fae be what we're seeing as glimmer men, or like we've talked about these glimmer creatures? Could they all be fae?
That's exactly right. We don't know. We don't know if it's fae folk, if it's extraterrestrial, ultra-terrestrial, what it is. But I like the stories. Well, let's take a break. And when we get back from the break, I got one more I want to share with you. Stick with us, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. And we're back with Expanded Perspectives. Yeah, man.
Yes.
Fae stories. I love fae folk stories.
I don't know why.
I think they're really cool. If you have any fae folk stories you want to share with me and Cam, as well as the listeners, do not hesitate. Email the show, expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. Check this one out. This one also comes from Texas.
Yikes.
It says this took place in the early 2020s. It was one spring, early summer evening, about 2 or 3 weeks after my dog died. I was sleeping in my bedroom. Now, my cat often shares the bed, but he did not this evening. I was sleeping on my side and became aware that there was a light on in my ordinarily pitch-black room. Opening my eyes about 2 feet from my face, squatting on my bedside table was the same level as my bed, was a figure which appeared to be female, staring intently at my phone. The screen was on, illuminating a dark body. I couldn't tell if this figure was naked or was just wearing form-fitting dark neoprene-like suit. But the phone light, the part closest to the phone were blue and purple, reflective or iridescent. The sides were dark-colored, her face was dark, and she had hair and a slightly large head and somewhat cute face with a nose that ranged from almost flat just below her eyes to a wide, slightly upturned tip at the end. It was a rather pretty face, at least in profile. Her eyes were large. Her eyes seemed to be a light brown, but could have been green or dark blue, I guess. I had a vague impression of a tail, but since that was behind her, where it was shadowed, I couldn't be for sure. She seemed absolutely very real, very solid, and she never looked towards me. I'm afraid of being afraid, and assumed that this was a hallucination or a dream. So I blinked hard on purpose and opened my eyes again. She was still there. As crazy as this sounds, to avoid being afraid, I just turned the other direction and said, "Nope." Laid back down, and that's what I did. Then it occurred to me after I closed my eyes that she seemed so real that I better look again. So I opened my eyes again, expecting pitch darkness. But there was light, so I sat up slowly and turned back towards my bedstand, and she was gone. But my phone was back on, and the charging pad, and the screen was activated. Squatting down, I would say she was probably only 10 to 12 inches in height. So I would estimate that she had been standing, that was then she was that close. I mean, if she was standing, she would have been taller, like probably 2 feet tall. This was just under 1 year ago. I wonder why I saw her after that, and if she was as real as she seemed. I had the crazy thought that maybe having my dog around kept things like this at bay. I've not seen anything like this since that time. Perhaps just under 24 inches tall, an upturned nose, which was somewhat flat above the tip of her nose. It had large eyes, it had a pretty face, hair dark colored, and she seemed to be wearing a neoprene suit of some kind. Her face was somewhat lighter, but it was still dark. I had an impression of hair, and like I said earlier, there may have been a tail, but it was behind her, so I can't be sure. To this day, I've often wondered what I saw. It has to be Fae Folk because of the small size of the thing. But what was she doing in my room? I do not know. Hope you are well. Thanks for all you do. Josh. Yeah, man. Yes. Like it's cats I like, right?
Dude.
A little tiny tiefling, right? Like a little 12-foot tall woman with a tail, perhaps.
12 inch.
What'd I say?
12 foot.
No.
Jesus, could you imagine a 12-foot tall tiefling? Oh, my goodness.
No, 12 inch.
That's
I apologize.
Fiend.
Yeah, man, 12 inches. Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, you know, what is this? What was it doing? Did it turn his phone on? Or did the phone come on because they got an email or something and then it illuminated it?
I like to believe that it was just synchronicity and the phone just happened to come on when it got near it. But maybe it actually has, you know, something along. Maybe it turned the phone on.
It may be.
It reached over there and was like, you know, hey, what's going on with this whole thing here?
I don't know. Man, I love the stories of the Fae.
I do. I can't get things. Enough of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Why does it feel so like real? Like out of all of them, it just seems like that's expected, right? I think for me, it's not only the love I have for stuff like, you know, The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings, because Tolkien just had a birthday not long ago. I think all of those, that stuff, you know, I think that Dungeons and Dragons fantasy world really that I enjoy really bleeds over into it. But just something about the Fae seems 100% believable.
I agree. And, you know, for whatever reason, most of the encounters seem nice.
Yeah.
I mean, there are stories out there of bad things happening, but most of the Fae seem nice.
But you know what's funny is it's changed. It used to not be that way.
Yeah.
The Fae were evil.
Right. Like changelings.
Yes.
They would come and kidnap your baby. And
the Fae
like
were
that.
Terrible. We've covered it in the past. We're terrible. And then somewhere along the way, you know what it is? Everybody can do better. And so the Fae realized the error of their ways. And now they're trying to do better.
Yeah, right. It's a
That's
new year.
Right.
Maybe there'll be nothing but
That's
benevolent
right.
Fae Folk encounters for
That's
2024.
That's what we're hoping for.
If you have any stories like I mentioned earlier and you want to share them with everybody, please do not hesitate. Email the show expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. You can call the show 888-393-2783, and you could leave your story if you'd rather tell it than type it. Also, don't forget about Expanded Perspectives Elite if you want to help out the show, as well as there's a back catalog you can catch up on. Just go to expandedperspectives.com, click on the Elite tab, sign up is easy. Let's not forget about our wonderful sponsor, AG1. If you want to help out the show and start your year off right, you need to get AG1. Just go to drinkag1.com/expanded, and you'll get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3, K2, and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. That's drinkag1.com/expanded. Cam, what do you got going for the rest of your week?
Man, I've been working in the kitchen.
Oh, yeah? Like cooking or
yes. Like cooking. I'm working on perfecting aioli and crema sauces for a lot of my taco recipes and things for street tacos. And
you're whatnot. A saucier.
Yeah, that's my job.
There you go.
You're a tunesmith.
You know, there's a taco truck down the street. I have not been to it, but it looks like the crowd is building exponentially day by day.
My wife has been to it and sings the praises of their breakfast burritos. I, too, have not yet tried it.
I've noticed that in the mornings, the line's getting bigger and bigger, so the word's spreading, right?
Dude, you could watch it grow, haven't you? I mean, you literally can watch it go from one or two trucks to like 15 of them rode up through there now.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to have to go check it out. But yeah, that's what I've got going on. That's my main thing, right? Is I've got it in my mind, so that's what I'm going to lock in on. I'm going to spend any little extra time I got, I need to try to perfect these sauces.
Yeah, make some tacos and bring them to the studio next
time. Will do.
Bring them to the next D&D session.
Ooh,
bring me some tacos, burritos, whatever's going on.
Taco burrito, what's that stuff coming at you? Speedo, it's trouble. Hey, right? It's trouble. Come on now.
All right, I hope everybody out there has a good week. That's about all the time we have for this episode. Till next time, folks. I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.